By 1990, no Australian child will be living in poverty.
We apologise for the laws and policies of successive parliaments.
In the winter of 2015, Australia turned to face itself.
Be the Change, Mondays at noon on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And good afternoon. You're listening to Be the Change on Yarra Valley FM with Neil Taylor. It is good to be here with you through the magic of technology again today, where I'm sitting in the office in Montrose, and through the magic of the internet, I'm connected through to the studio and monitored there by the amazing Greg Carrick, who's patched us through to the studio. Anyway, it's good to be here with you, and hope you've survived yet another week of lockdown with COVID-19, and everyone's doing well out there. We've just heard on the news, in case you didn't hear it, that there is some restrictions that have been changed here in Victoria, and they include things like allowing five people. Well, they take place from tomorrow night at midnight, so don't jump the gun yet. But apparently, from 12 p.m. on Tuesday night, midnight, you are allowed to have up to five people at the home. They're encouraging you not to go nuts and just to have parties and whatever, but to invite maybe, you know, mum that you didn't see on Mum's Day around and things like that. The other restrictions that have been slightly loosened have been things like funerals. If it's outside, I think it's 20, and inside 10. And weddings are allowed up to, I think, about 10 or 20 people as well. So things are a little bit lax and changing, hopefully for the better, and we don't have any more outbreaks or any severe, again, spikes in people who are testing positive. On that note too, if you have been tested, good on you, and I think I would encourage anyone out there who's sort of even suspects they're a little bit sick to go past and get tested. I mean, it's free. They give you a bit of reassurance that it isn't. And likewise, you know, also helps control the spread of it if there is a problem. And, yeah, how many of you have downloaded the app and got the app going? I know there's been a bit of question about all the privacy and stuff like that, but I think if it allows you to, you know, link up anyone that you do come in contact with and they can trace it back easily, then I think that's a pretty good step. It may not be the best, and I don't think I'll be keeping it if we start to see a bit more changes come into relaxation. But generally, it's a good idea to allow the doctors and stuff and the government to be able to track it too. So if you do come in contact with someone, they can easily pinpoint that you may was sick, may have got it and be a carrier as well. Anyway, enough of that. Let's go to our first song, and after that, I'll be talking about the song of change. And the song of change this week is not one I'm really popular and happy with, but, you know, it's not one of my favourites, but it's one that did bring about some social change in the just in the recent past. So, but we'll see that in a minute. Let's go to a guy called Brand New. The song's called Brand New Day, and it's by a group called Mr. Harvey. So enjoy.
Day a while. Why? As if dead with pride, my friend. Place that's full of friends. Learn to live the truth and not the fable. Be happy once again. Happy once again. Happy once again.
Be the change.
Be the change.
And welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that. All right, as promised, we are continuing our Song of Changes and looking at a song that's from 2011 today. And it's from an artist who you either really like her or you just can't stand her usually. And it's Lady Gaga. And while I'm a big sort of, some of her songs are okay or whatever, I just sort of wasn't really a big fan of hers. But this song that we can look at today has had quite a bit of an impact in our more recent popular culture. So the song is Born This Way, and so I'll just get straight into it. Born This Way is a song by American singer Lady Gaga and the lead single from her second studio album of the same name. Written by Gaga and Jeppy Lawson, who produced it along with Fernando Garibay and DJ White Shadow. This track was developed while Gaga was on the road with the Monster Ball tour. Inspired by 1990s music, which empowered women and the gay community, Gaga explained that Born This Way was her freedom song. She sang it part of the chorus. She sang part of the chorus at the 2010 MTV Music Video Awards in 2010 and announced the song as the lead single from the album released on February 11th, 2011. Gaga debuted the song live at the Grammy Awards February 13th, 2011, in a rendition influenced by her background in performance art. The singer arrived in the ceremony in a giant egg that was carried by fashion models. Then 3 hours later, she was hatched on stage, symbolizing her rebirth, before she proceeded to perform the tune. Gaga explained to Billboard magazine that the Grammy performance was about many things, but ultimately the song Born This Way is visually and thematically and lyrically about birthing a new race. Birthing a race within the race of already existing cultures of humanity that bears no prejudice and no judgment. Gaga shared her process for writing this equality anthem in an interview with Vogue. "I wrote Born This Way in 10 effing minutes," she explained, "and it is a completely magical message song. After I wrote it, the gates just opened and the song kept coming. It was like an immaculate conception." Born This Way specifically references race and sexuality. The song has garnered criticism from some Asian and Hispanic communities, claiming that the lyrics use the terms Chola, Lebanese, and Orient to describe Latino and Asian communities is offensive and derogatory. The song title was inspired by Carl Bean's 1977 gay disco anthem, I Was Born This Way. The song debuted number one on the Billboard Hot 100, dated February 26, 2011. In doing so, it became the thousandth number one single in the chart's history, and its opening week digital sales of 448,000 were the biggest first digital sales figure by a female artist, beating the previous record held by Britney Spears' Hold It Against Me. The single broke the overall debut record, airplay debut record, with a first week audience of 7.85 million. Can you believe that? Besting the previous debut set with Janet Jackson's All For You, achieved 70 million in 2001. Apple iTunes announced that the song sold more than 1 million tracks in its first 5 days. This meant the song became the fastest single in the history of the iTunes store, reaching number one in 23 countries. And this song was the first song with the word born in its title to top the Billboard Hot 100. Previously best born song chart position-wise was Steppenwolf's Born to Be Wild, which peaked at number two in 1968. The sci-fi inspired video was directed by fashion photographer Nick Knight in collaboration with the House of Gaga creative team and choreographer Lorianne Gibson. It reiterates the rebirth theme the singer has used in performances of the song. It's the story about the birth of a new race, Gaga told BBC Radio 1 DJ Greg James. A race that bears no prejudice and a race that's primary sort of ambition in life is to inspire unity and togetherness. Gaga is seen dancing and flirting through the video with Canadian model Rick Genest, also known as Zombie Boy, who works for French fashion house Thierry Mugler. His face and body are tattooed to look like a skeleton. Lady Gaga recorded a country version while on tour with new vocals and added guitar and harmonica. After she released Born This Way Country Road version through her Twitter page, it became such a viral hit that Gaga decided to officially issue the track for sale with a portion of the proceeds to benefit the Gay, Lesbian and Straight Education Network charity. After going through some drama to get Lady Gaga's approval, the satirist Weird Al Yankovic released a comedic version of the song titled Perform This Way. I'll have to have a look for that one. Anyway, the song became the fastest single in history to reach sales of 1 million copies worldwide by beating that mark in only 5 days. The first song to debut at number one, it was the first number one on the Hot 100 and remain at the top for more than a month since Elton John's 1987 version of Candle in the Wind. With over 1 million copies sold in its first week in the US, Born This Way achieved the best-selling debut since 50 Cent's The Massacre did. With a similar in its first 7 days in 2005. Born This Way debuted at number one in both the US and the UK, where first week sales were greater than the rest of the top 10 combined. It landed at the top 10 spot in the album chart in its first week in Australia, Austria, Brazil, Denmark, France, Germany, India, Japan, New Zealand, South Korea, Sweden, Switzerland, and Taiwan. And the video won Best in Video. This won the Best Video and Best Song at the 2011 MTV Europe Music Video Awards. Gaga also won Best Female and Biggest Fans at the same ceremony. I knew that the song was a very special one when I wrote it, she said upon receiving the Best Song prize. This is the single most important song that I've ever written, the single which most important album, and now the single most important moment. The song has gone on to be sort of an anthem for some of the human rights changes with sexuality and obviously things like being accepted in non-binary people and things like that. So it's had a fairly big impact, mainly in America and probably Europe, not so much Australia on sort of leading that charge, but it has been quite a prevalent one. Anyway, listen to the lyrics and make your own mind up about it. If you get a chance, I'll post the video up on the Facebook page again for Be The Change. And the video clip is even weirder than the song. So have a listen to the song and we'll check out the video if you get a chance. All right, enjoy Lady Gaga, Born This Way.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M-M-M-M-M-M. Just put your paws up. 'Cause you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. There's a mirror to save. I'm beautiful in my way, 'cause I make no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way. Don't have any self-regret, just love yourself instead. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way. Born this way, there ain't no other way. Baby, I was born this way. Baby, I was born this way. Born this way, there ain't no other way. Baby, I was born this way. Right track, baby, I was born this way. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends, so we can rejoice your truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not a sin, but recap.
Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Whether you're broke or evergreen, you're black, white, beige, Chola descent, you're Lebanese, you're Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast, bullied or teased, rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this way.
No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white or beige, Chola or Orient, me.
You're listening to Be The Change with Neil Taylor, right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
And we're back. And sorry, I've just lost the picture for a second. It is good to be back with you. I hope you enjoyed that song. Yeah, it like I said, it's one that is still a bit strange, and has, but it's been a bit of an album and anthem for people to, you know, to really get in there and learn about it. So I learned about songs about particularly with change. Just a bit further to those changes that I was talking about with the stage one easing of restrictions. The good news is that if you're an outdoors person, that groups of 10 are allowed now outdoors for sports and recreational activities with social distancing being practiced. So in other words, hiking, fishing and golf are now allowed. The big news is that professional sport training is to resume. So it looks like the AFL looks like it's going to be resuming its training and properly. And, you know, it looks like we'll probably see a season coming up. Restaurants and cafes are still to remain takeaway only. They're encouraging you to work from home where possible. If you can't, you can go into work. And up to five family or friends are allowed in the home. Weddings will be allowed to have 10 guests. Up to 20 people will be allowed to have funerals held indoors, and up to 30 if they're held outside. Cafes and restaurants could reopen in June if after 3 weeks of a major blitz of testing. So in other words, they're encouraging people to test as much as soon as possible and get those results in. Anyway, so No, it looks like that we're doing pretty good, but it looks like we are still having a few restrictions, but it looks like that things will slowly start to change. The big news about schools is that they're still encouraging people to keep the kids at home, but it looks like a return to schoolrooms by the end of term two. So at least a term full of kids staying at home during the virus scare and the restrictions. What is the one thing that you've missed the most, do you think, during all this time? I imagine if you live alone, it's been a case of being very, very feeling isolated. It's been very difficult. I know for a lot of people who are being restricted, and particularly they don't have any transport, that their only time they can ever sort of get any contact is maybe if they go down to the shops or whatever, things like that. But if you're living in, you know, if you've got no transport, or if you are still being held, you know, within your own thoughts to keep at home, then it can get very lonely out there. I do know there's a lot of people experiencing loneliness. I think that probably the biggest thing that I've missed is not only sort of related to that, it's kind of just being able to catch up with people, you know, over a coffee at a cafe or something like that. Just being able to actually meet people face to face and sit down and talk to them instead of sort of video chats and all these and sure they might be more efficient, but I just feel that there's something that we kind of miss from our contact with people, isn't it? It's just amazing how it sort of boils down to that point where, you know, something that we take so as much as part of who we are, which is being able to have human contact, whether it's be hugging and kissing or even just, you know, shaking hands or sitting from someone over and seeing their face and their body movements and who they are and recognizing who they are, that it is amazing how much of a difference that makes. I was reading an article that I came across. It was a talk about the Lord of the Flies and how this boils down to sort of how we relate to each other. If you recall, Lord of the Flies was a 1960s kind of a book that was released and then was made into a film and a couple of times, both in the 60s and I think just recently, where a group of schoolboys get marooned on an island, whether it's a plane going down or a ship or whatever. And in the process, they fall into sheer chaos and basically three or four boys are killed. The island, when they are rescued, is devastated. They've just stripped the island of all its resources and are living like animals, basically. Where the article was going to say that the guy who wrote that, and I can't remember the guy's or the author's name, but was actually suffering depression and had quite a severe mental health symptoms when he wrote that. So he's feeling that maybe that didn't quite examine what the human condition is actually like if that was to happen. And interesting enough, no one sort of really questioned it until recently. People have just sort of assumed that Lord of the Flies captures what would really happen if people were left to those sort of things. The author of this article went on to say that he actually did some examination and research and found an actual case right here in Australia of something similar, but it was a completely different outcome. He basically found that there was a bunch of young boys who were trying to run away from a school in Tonga and ended up in one of the islands that had previously been inhabited. A slaving ship had decimated the population on the island, and they ended up on this island. And they were there for about 15 months. When they were rescued, they were still nice and fit and healthy. They had discovered chickens. They had discovered how to fish properly and things like that. But what was remarkable was that one of the boys had actually fallen and broke his leg, and they had rescued him and taken him back to the camp they'd had, and they mended it. They basically put it in a splint and got him to rest and get lay off it for as long as it took for the leg to heal. Now, one of the first signs, someone was saying that one of the classroom was asked, what is the first sign of civilization? What would you say was the first sign of civilization? And it wasn't fire or anything like that. It was a broken femur bone. It was saying that if the bone was healed, it showed that someone actually had cared for that person. And I just thought it was fascinating. That was the first sign of civilization or a sign of civilization. And I'll read it to you. It's years ago, American anthropologist Margaret Mead was asked by a student what she considered to be the first sign of civilization in a culture. The student expected Mead to talk about hooks, clay pots, or whetstones, but not. Mead said the first sign of civilization in an ancient culture was a femur, thigh bone, that had been broken and then healed. Mead explained that in the animal kingdom, if you break your leg, you die. You cannot run from danger, reach the riverbank to drink, or hunt for food. You are meat for animals hanging around. No animal survives a broken leg long enough for the bone to heal. A broken femur that is healed is evidence that someone had time to stay with the one who fell, hide the wound, took the person to safety, and took care of the person through recovery. Helping someone through hardship is where civilization begins, said Mead. We are at our best when we serve others. The healing of a broken bone in the story is a sign of true civilization. So I just thought it was fascinating. It was an interesting story. And it just shows that it just sort of is the key to what really mateship is about here in Australia, isn't it? It was evident in our bushfire recovery, and I think it's been quite evident too in the response to COVID-19 with the way people have responded to that. So I just thought I'd encourage you with that to say that, we're all on the right track, but it's you know, it seems difficult, but we're there. We're all caring for one another's broken femur bones. So it's good. I'm pleased to hear that. All right. Time for another song. That's enough of me raving on about that. Aso Low and Jess Can't.
Be the Change, a social justice program where we hear from local people who make a difference.
And welcome back to Be the Change on Yarra Valley FM and 99.1 Voice of the Valley. Hope you've enjoyed that. That was Ace Solo, Jess Can't. The song was Ace Solo, sorry. Just thought I'd let you know a bit about what we've been up to with Holy Fools. We have still been going on, and I did mention that last week, that still doing Street Angels and our outreach services. I just wanted to share a story, an ongoing story that's still actually happening as we talk, about a gentleman that's been sleeping in his car. He was first came to sort of our attention quite a few months ago. And he was sleeping in his car at that stage, and we provided him some food and aid and got him to try and connect with Anchor and the other resources that could help him. And he had planned at that stage to, drive up to a large regional city. And so we provided him enough aid to sort of get him through that weekend, and then he was supposed to go drive up there anyway. He appeared again and in Lilydale, and at that stage he'd lost his license and couldn't drive, so he needed someone to help move his vehicle. He'd been asked to move it from where he was parked, and so we provided a bit of help with him there, moved him to the new location, and helped him with some more food and sort of clothing and stuff like that, and got him set up as much as we could. And again, we reiterated that he could contact Anchor and possibly get some help with maybe finding some temporary accommodation or even getting some respite or something like that. He then again literally told us at that stage too that he was planning off to still go up to this regional city and that he had to go back there and sort some stuff out. So we didn't see him for a while. We didn't turn up for any of our and then he reappeared about 6 weeks ago at a different location. And at that stage, his car had broken down and he couldn't drive it any further. I'm not sure if he was driving or who was driving it for him, but he was there. And we started visiting him on a regular basis to just check on his welfare. Again, at each time telling him that there was additional help that he could have. He didn't want to seem to accept any more help or take any more advantage of any of the services that were offered to him. He accepted food and some blankets and stuff like that, but he wasn't interested in chatting with Anchor or anyone to move into respite or anything like that. We noticed that his mental health started to really deteriorate and that he started showing signs of aggression and really incoherent conversations with him began to become more the norm than the quite intelligent ones that he was capable of before. That got worse and worse, and that led to some problems where he was parked, and one of the owners of the local businesses that he was parked nearby loaded his station wagon on the back of a flatbed and all of the stuff that he had with him. And part of the problem was that where he was, he had his station wagon, which was a single vehicle, but he had taken up three car spots. And in a commercial area, you obviously want as many car spots as possible for businesses. And these were businesses that were still active during this restrictions were needing those car spots for either both their clients or for all things they were dealing with. So anyway, he got moved. Now, I'm still trying to determine whether he was forcibly moved or whether there was a bit of coercion going on. Anyway, they moved him into a very obscure, remote spot on a side road over in Kilsyth. And I mean remote. It's probably a good 5-minute drive to the local shops. It's in a sort of commercial, quasi back area of Kilsyth. Now, I've been to see him several times. There was a lot of times we went and he wasn't available, wasn't there. We got Anchor involved. We've also got one of the mental health services in Ringwood to get involved, and we've been back and forwards to see him to see if we can help him. I'm going to back there after this show today to drop a mobile phone off to him to see if we can get him to take a bit of action on where he's located and maybe move where he is. But each time I've talked to him, and particularly when I went and saw him yesterday, the biggest thing that he's been talking about and being missing is contact with other people. And it boils down again to the loneliness that I was just talking about. So he really values just our, even if we're there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes talking to him and providing some food, that's a real highlight of his day. And I was really taken back when we were talking to him yesterday. He was showing signs of really aggression and agitation every time he was talking about his car. He was wanting to torch his car. He was wanting to just get away from where he was and get back into somewhere where he could actually make a difference with making some positive changes in his life. And he was just really frustrated because he didn't have a mobile phone. He had no way of communicating, and he just couldn't leave. He felt the vehicle where it was because he was afraid that it would get stolen. All things inside would get stolen. So I'm going back there this afternoon with a mobile phone with him, and hopefully we'll be able to help him out with doing that. Now, why am I telling you that story? I just wanted you to know that homelessness is still happening, whether COVID-19 or not is going on. And there are people out there who are still really struggling. And those people are you know, for the best of part, lonely, usually by themselves, and are sort of at the whim of whatever else is going on around them. They're sort of very lost, lose control over their situation and control of where they are allowed to go. We've been having regular meetings with a couple of the agencies, including the Salvos and Anchor and the Shire of Yarra Rangers, to keep track of a number of people. And really the story is that most people, 90% of those people, were able to help and get into some sort of respite or into whether it's transitional housing or more permanent accommodation. So the stories are out there about the positive side of things. But every now and then you get a gentleman like this who doesn't seem to really fit in with everything that you have, you know, that's been designed to work with him. He is petrified about being going back to mental health hospital, and is doing his best to deal with some of the issues that he's got with mental health before he takes, you know, some next steps. But I was really impressed with him yesterday when he was saying that he's like that he wants self-organized for a job. But again, I was terrified when he started talking about the fact that he was thinking about torching the vehicle and, getting rid of it that way so that he could at least be a little bit mobile and not worry about things. I'll keep you up if it happens, but it's just a story. It's what pretty much a common story with a lot of the guys that we've dealt with, that there's a lot of anguish, a lot of stress, a lot of all these amazing emotions that go on. And with people like this guy, you know, you can swing from being really positive at one side to being very agitated and angry and violent even on the second hand. But as I was leaving yesterday after giving him some food, the last thing he said to me was thank you. It was said in such a way that just broke my heart, because it was sincere, it was just honest, and it was a real sign of appreciation for just even being able to sit with him and talk with him for about 10 minutes. The rain actually stopped us yesterday because it started raining quite heavy when I was sitting there talking with him, so that's why we broke up so fast. But I'll be popping past there after this, and I'll keep you informed of what's going on. All right, let's go to another song, and then I'll pop back and say goodbye. So it's Small Talk by Courtney Barnett.
Do you have any siblings? I got a Blake, he's 4 years older than me, and I guess he always will be. Yeah, he's clever and he's got a cool girlfriend. Oh, but wait, now that they're engaged, so I hope they have kids so I can be a cool auntie. Yeah, I'm very much be. back here with you. But you see, all this small talk is killing me.
That's the show for today, folks. So thank you for tuning in and listening to what I had to say. I do appreciate everyone who does listen and responds on our Facebook page or whatever like that. So listen, keep safe till next week. And thank you again to Greg Carrick for his technology and being able to link us up for the studio today. Have a good week, and we'll be back next week. Thanks. Bye.